You're listening to the PMO Strategies Podcast, where PMO leaders become impact drivers. This is episode 253. Well, hey there, impact driver. Welcome to the PMO Strategies Podcast. I am your host, Laura Bernard. It's time to cut through the noise and see if AI really can transform transformation itself. Portfolio management is the pivot point for any transformation and change program. Portfolio management is where a PMO can add massive value, potentially doubling the strategic impact for the business, as many of our clients have seen. And it doesn't even stop at double, so we'll get into that in a minute. But this is also an area of egos and complex organizational dynamics, as we all know. Surely AI isn't ready to play here, or is it? In this episode today, you'll find out. Before we dive in, this episode is sponsored by International PMO Day and our free 2-hour celebration that we are doing on International PMO Day, May 14th, to help you celebrate PMOs around the world, elevate the impact you can make, and educate you on exactly how to do it. And by the way, you'll also get a sneak peek into the upcoming book, The Impact Engine. I cannot wait to get it in your hands. Just go to pmostrategies.com/PMO Day. That's pmostrategies.com/PMO Day. And join us for a high impact celebration of PMOs and project management. This day is for you. Don't miss it. Come celebrate with us. I'll see you there. Now, with me today to talk about AI in portfolio management and whether or not we really can use it to cut through some of the nonsense and make a bigger impact is Stuart Easton. Stuart is the CEO and co-founder of Transparent Choice. Stuart is also a speaker, blogger, and a high-impact troublemaker, one of my dear friends. And he's always talking about things related to project prioritization and portfolio governance. In fact, he's one of the top thought leaders in this space. And I cannot wait to share some goodness that Stuart has to talk to us about today on this very topic. He's a guest lecturer at the Oxford University and USC. He helps PMOs deliver strategic value and improve project success rates through his masterclasses. And I also just want to say, he taught us how to punt.
If you're thinking guys in tight pants kicking balls right now, you got it so wrong. That's not the kind of punting we're talking about, folks.
That's a totally different podcast episode. But at the Ms. Stuart and I have been friends for years. We actually met through a mutual friend, Mike Hannon, years ago now. Remember that, Stuart?
It is years ago. Wow. Yeah.
And then finally,
we're getting younger every day, though. It's all right.
I know, definitely, for sure. And finally, I was going to have the chance to go keynote at Lindsay and Eileen's House of PMO conferences in the UK several years ago now. And I decided to bring my family, my son, Grayson, and my husband, Kurt, because it was right after Grayson got out of school. And I wanted to see every castle in the UK, which would have taken longer than the few weeks we were there. But we got the chance to hang out with you for a day. And I remember when we were planning the trip, you said, oh, I got to take you out for a punt. And for the longest time, I thought you meant a pint, like go get a beer at a local pub. And I'm like, oh, that sounds great. Not sure what we'll do with the kid, but we'll figure it out. And all along, you were talking about, no, not U.S. football and kicking a ball. You were talking about
a punt. It's a boat that you take out on the river here in the UK. It's quite unique to Oxford and Cambridge. You get them other places, but it's usually Oxford and Cambridge. And it's this sort of wobbly, wibbly, wobbly, flat bottom boat. And you push it along with a big, long pole. And that is punting.
Yes.
And it was great. I actually got to teach Laura's husband to punt. I've never seen anyone look so stiff and terrified before. But he actually did a great job. He didn't fall in. We moved forward. We didn't go backwards, right? It was great.
Well, you got to understand, he's a former Army colonel. So, you know, everything is like about making sure you get it right and very strong, but purposeful. But yes, I was very proud. None of us fell in.
And just as importantly, I introduced you to British strawberries.
Oh, you be still my beating heart. they're not like U.S. strawberries at all. And so now, I guess we probably shouldn't say this on the podcast, but anytime we're going to be together in a different country, I ask you to smuggle some strawberries for me so that I can get some of those British strawberries, because they are the best. Anyway, so for everybody that is new to Stuart, now you know he is loads of fun, but also a pretty darn smart guy. And I really wanted to have this conversation and share it with our community, because there's so much buzz out there about AI and what it can and cannot do, and if it's taking over project management jobs and all that. And I think there are some real opportunities, and artificial intelligence is not something we should be afraid of, but figuring out how we fully leverage so that the people that are doing the hard work of project management and program management and running PMOs and organizations can focus on the parts AI can't do. And, you know, really elevate the conversations and the impact and the relationships, and let AI take care of some things that would make our lives a lot easier so that we have more capacity to do that. So, Stuart, because you are the portfolio prioritization guy that we pull into our clients, into our mastermind, into all the things, because the way you describe it and what you teach and what your software does is like no other, I thought it'd be great for you to come in and talk to us about AI and portfolio management and what we can actually use it for to help organizations really accelerate the impact that they can make.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you for that. I'm blushing now. You can see the listeners can't see it, but you can see it, Laura. I'm blushing now. But thank you for that. And I think part of the genesis of this was also the fact that, you know, we've all had those experiences where, I don't know, you get some AI, you're invited to a meeting to summarize the meeting. Somehow it manages to summarize all of the words, but capture none of the meaning.
Mm-hmm.
We've all had those experiences. And I'm sort of sensing that some people are starting to fall out of love with AI. They're losing this infatuation. And I think that would be a shame because, as you said, there are some areas where it can be absolutely transformative. In project management, yes, but absolutely in portfolio management. So, you know, transformation. Yeah, absolutely. I think AI has the potential to do that. Oddly, in more of an opportunity to do that in portfolio management even than in project management. You know, so that's hopefully what we'll get to explore.
Yeah, let's start there. I'd like to just dive right in if that's okay with you. So we can just cut right to the chase about what people need to understand and how they can leverage AI most effectively. So let's talk about first, just at the highest level, for anyone that hasn't been a part of one of our conversations in the past, why is portfolio management so important? Let's start there.
Cool. So a few years ago, I wrote a blog about, you know, what drives project failure.
Yeah.
And I looked at some of the believe it or not, there's actual research into this.
Okay. Right,
per academic research into what drives project failure. And it's always things like, you know, insufficient resources, poor control of the scope, poor executive sponsorship, things like that, right?
Right.
And when you dig into every one of those, right, because we've all done the why game.
Mm-hmm. Right?
So when you ask why the first time, you get answers like, we didn't have enough resources, or the executive sponsor didn't turn up. But when you ask why again, you very quickly get to portfolio management, right? Why didn't you have enough resources? Because you got too many projects.
Right. Right.
Why didn't the exec sponsor turn up? Well, part of that might be a training issue, but also maybe he just doesn't care about the project. Right. So that's a portfolio management problem again. You picked the wrong project. He's not interested in it. And so when you do this, you find again and again the portfolio management issues and governance issues are at the heart of project failure, the vast majority of project failure. Stuff that looks like execution failure.
Right.
The symptom, right? You talk about this in the masterclass a lot, right?
100%.
So the stuff that looks like it's causing the failure is just the symptom. You got to go and find the cause, and it's usually something in portfolio management. So if you can fix that, not only are you going to reduce failures, but you can also accelerate the number of projects that get done because you can use your resources more efficiently. You can get rid of task switching. When you have too much work, people are switching tasks. And I was actually reading a paper on the American Psychological Society website last week, and they were talking about how, you know, how you lose sort of 30 to 40% of your capacity.
Yep, 40%.
Right. Mm-hmm. Staggering number. Imagine going to your executive and saying, how would you like me to hire 30 or 40% more people? And it won't cost you a penny.
Right.
Right. Now that's an interesting conversation. So that's the power of portfolio management, is to completely transform the performance without costing you any more money or resources.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting because now that the book's written and it's off of the printer and I'm thinking about all the things you're saying here, I can actually say all of this is covered in the book. This
Laura, I can't wait to get a copy of the book. I've got this door out here and it just keeps slamming shut and I just need something to keep that door open. So send me a copy.
Well, you're going to have 200 copies.
That's right.
With
we just ordered 200 copies. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so if anybody is wondering, Stuart actually was one of our early readers and gave us feedback to an early messy version of the book. And I think he ended up liking the final version so much that he bought 200 copies to share with his friends. So thank you, Stuart. It's a huge honor. And you'll have those long before they can be in bookstores, which isn't until September of this year. And we will be celebrating on International PMO Day. I'll be sharing the book. Our mastermind students will already have it in their hands, which is pretty exciting because it's not in bookstores until September 10th. But I talk about this a lot in the book because I think it is the foundational problem that gets so many PMO people in trouble, which is they address symptoms instead of root causes, right? So I explain how to do this in the book about how to get to the root cause and not just throw a bunch of resources at it, because everyone keeps saying that their number one complaint in PMOs and project world is that they don't have enough resources. And as you've heard me say before, no, that's actually a symptom. The root cause is you have executives trying to shove 10 pounds of projects in a 5-pound bag. And the problem with that is that that means everything is important. Everything is treated like a number one priority. And that gets us to the entire problem of, okay, if everything is a number one priority, then nothing is important. If everything is important, nothing is important. So I use these examples in the book because this is the most specific challenge that we have. And if you don't have good portfolio management and specifically prioritization, you're going to end up with this repeated problem. And you're not, because you're addressing the symptoms, not the root cause. So we have to spend some more time talking about what the actual causes are.
And to that point, we're going to talk about AI in a minute, but to that point, Laura, you know, when you keep going, why, right? So you go back. So why do we have too many projects, not enough resources? Because we're not prioritizing properly. Why are we not prioritizing properly? Because we don't have a good process to do it. Why don't we have a good process? Well, because it's hard and your executives fundamentally don't agree on what they're trying to achieve.
Right. Exactly.
So when you just keep asking that why question, you eventually get to this thing of, you know, the root cause of all of those portfolio management project execution problems is the fact your executives are all trying to pull you in different directions. So good prioritization is not actually about picking what projects to do. Good prioritization is about getting those executives aligned in what direction they are moving and they want the organization to move as a unit, not as 15 different people pulling in different directions. So actually, before we jump into AI, this raises one thing, right? So one big question, can we use AI everywhere? And the answer is an emphatic no.
Right. Okay.
Because AI will never, ever be able to get those executives aligned. That's about people.
Right. I'm just laughing because people can hardly do it.
Exactly.
Getting all your executives going in the same direction is a challenge that AI is a long way away from being able to solve.
Absolutely. And those executives themselves, you know, they're making subjective judgments about, you know, is it more important to grow our revenue or to service our customers, right?
Right.
Those are trade-offs and it's purely subjective. So AI has nothing to say on that topic.
Right.
And until AI is smarter than the people and really understands the world in a meaningful way, it will never have anything to say on those topics. So the first thing about adopting AI to transform portfolio management is that there are bits where AI just doesn't apply. And it's, you know, I like to think of it, I'm not keen on the phrase AI because I think it's misleading.
Okay.
I think what we should be talking about is artificial plus human equals intelligence.
So it's artificial. Leveraging the tools.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And knowing when to put the focus on the artificial bit and when to put the focus on the human bit. Right, because there are bits where AI is really good, bits where the human's really good. Combine the two, you get real intelligence.
Oh, so good. Okay, so if you can't use it to manage your executives, which would be amazing, where can you use it?
That's a great question. So there's a lot of areas where AI can be really powerful. And so, for example, if you look at optimization problems, right? So you've scored some projects and you know which ones are adding the most value, but your projects are all drawing from lots of different pools of resources.
Okay.
So how do you figure out which 30 projects, 50 projects, whatever it is, will use those resources to deliver the maximum value, right?
Yeah.
You might pick the project that has the most value, and guess what? It'll consume all of your most precious resource and you'll have none left for any other projects. That's not a good answer. It may be the most valuable project, but it's going to stop you doing other things that are also valuable.
Never.
So how do you optimize that? That's a really difficult thing for a person to do. You're going to sit there for days trying different combinations of projects, trying to maximize it. AI can do that in a minute. You know, we've built an AI tool that'll simulate 2,000 or 3,000 portfolios in about a minute. And it'll say, this one is the best one, right? That's a really, really good, clear use of AI. Same thing when you're building project roadmaps. You know, you're trying to build a flow of projects that never overloads your people.
Right.
That keeps, you know, again, if you do Laura's masterclass, buy the book, right? You'll learn about constraints and thinking about core constraints and things like that, right? So you want to keep those resources that are the busiest. You want to keep them working.
Right, right.
And productive. Right. So how do you come up with a roadmap, a sequence of projects that does that to maximize the flow? Well, again, you could try and do that as a person. It's kind of hard. It'll take a few hours and you'll get an okay answer, but not a great one. Or you can use AI to do something like that. Right. So there are areas where AI can be really, really powerful. Another area might be something like estimation or reporting.
Right.
So there are examples like Foresight Works where they use AI to figure out that, you know, they're focused around mega projects.
Right? Yeah.
So they've got loads of data, training data on mega projects and how big they are. So they can use AI to forecast the size, to estimate a project far better than a human could do.
Okay.
So where you've got good data, you can use AI. Where you've got, you know, things that are just computationally difficult, AI can really help. So there are some areas that when you put them together, you string them together, you optimize the portfolio, you get rid of the waste, you increase the flow of projects, really drive a huge return on investment. You mentioned the doubling earlier on, right? Doubling the impact. So you and I have seen examples of this where, you know, we say you can double the impact. Actually, what I believe is that you could triple it, quadruple it.
Right.
Quite easily. But when you say things like that, people tend to just go, oh my God, he's crazy, right?
He's lost his balls. Exactly. Mike Hannon and I do that with our clients all the time. And we'll say we can get you up to 5 times and nobody believes us. If we say we can double it, they're like, oh, okay, that's reasonable. So we always start with, look, let's at least double it. And then when we do that really quickly, they're like surprised. And then we can push them even further into triple and quadruple. But nobody believes you. You're right. We have all these case studies of where that's happening, but nobody believes it. Actually, we're going to be talking on a webinar with one of our clients, our shared clients. And when we're recording this, the webinar is tomorrow. So it'll be, you know, have already happened. But maybe we can get people access to the recording later so we should do that.
Show
real case study examples of exactly where this does happen easily with people that have no history in project management, no, you know, PMO or strategy delivery office when we start with them. And we help them do it pretty darn easily with very limited resources. It's just a matter of creating that focus and that prioritization and really being thoughtful about how you organize your portfolio so that you're not overloading everybody and they actually have time to do good work and get it done. And then, by the way, shocker, they can do twice as much and everyone's much happier in the process.
And I think, you know, again, this is a really big message, right? So AI, everybody's talking about AI.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, what you just talked about, Laura, is about people and process.
Right.
And so AI and software generally, right? Anyone that comes through the door, I've been selling software for 30 odd years, right? I'm not going to tell you how many, but I've been selling software for 30 odd years, right?
Right?
If anyone walks through the door and says, my software is a silver bullet that will fix your problem, they are lying to you. Right? They may not be doing it intentionally. They may believe what they're saying.
May believe it, yeah.
But they are not telling you the truth because the software is simply scaffolding that helps you make the changes that you need to make. So when AI goes through 2,000 permutations in a minute,
right,
that's just helping you do your job. You are still doing the job. You are still accountable and responsible for delivering the results. So all of this stuff is about the process and optimizing, you know, optimizing flow, making sure everything's aligned, making sure, you know, aligned with your strategy, focused on delivering the results, make sure those results. And you know what? Those basics that are in Laura's book, if you didn't know, Laura's got a book coming out, folks. But
ImpactEngineBook.com.
But all the stuff that's in Laura's book, right? This is the stuff that really transforms transformation. So we kind of a little bit tongue in cheek with AI doing the transformation. It's not. It's changing the people in the process, and AI just makes that easier.
Yes. It's about making it easier for all of these impact drivers to do the hard work that they have to do now, so that that stuff that is hard, like figuring out how you stagger your portfolio in order to get the optimal throughput for the year according to priorities, which is so cool that your software does that, frees you up to then have much better conversations, support bringing people through change, which is really, really, really what it's all about. It's about bringing people with you through the change process to achieve the bigger goals they have and accelerate strategy delivery in the process. That's really what we're trying to
accomplish. And there's a really weird phenomenon right now. So again, if you're listening to this and you're a transformation leader or a PMO leader, lots of organizations, particularly big organizations, have this thing where they actually have a corporate initiative to adopt AI. And so what's really interesting here is that the AI part of the story, even though it's only a supporting actor, it can actually be the thing that makes it easy to get support to make the changes that you need to make, right? To do those people and process changes. So, you know, there's a little window here for the next couple of years, I think, for PMO leaders and transformation leaders to say, hey, yeah, I'm deploying AI. But to make that work, we need to sort our governance process, and we need to get people in, and we need to do this, right?
Right.
But use the AI flag to actually get the organization to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And that window's not going to last long, folks, right? So get out there and use it is my advice. But make sure that you're using it with a piece of AI that actually solves the problem, because otherwise, you know, people, you only get to cry wolf once.
Right.
And then people don't listen again. Right. So
So
make sure that you start with, again, Laura, you teach this in the masterclass, right? In the mastermind.
Yeah.
That, you know, you think about your process and what you're trying to achieve first, then think about tooling.
Right, for sure. Right. Yeah, in our program, the Impact Engine System, which is the training and implementation program, that's what you're talking about here. In stage three, and you'll see all of this in the book, in stage three, we help people figure out what are the solutions that they need to bring to the table and what order should they do them in. And the problem is that first, a lot of PMO people start in stage three instead of in the foundational mindset changes that help them elevate their role and their credibility and their value proposition to the organization. And two, doing that core assessment and validation of what the problems actually are. Because what happens is most people, like we're talking about, address symptoms, not root causes. So you have to collect all that data, then do your root cause analysis before you ever start putting solutions in place. And then when you put solutions in place, if you start with the software, you are going to hit so many more walls and barriers to your progress than if you solve the root cause, which usually isn't software as a solution. It's usually we have everything is number one priority. We have our executives that are not focused on, you know, driving the right strategy or communicating that strategy to everybody, or we have way too many projects going on at once. All of those other problems, if you don't address those first through good governance, good portfolio management, and good process around those, then the software is just going to do bad things faster, right? And it'll just make things implode even faster. But once you get those good foundational components in place, then and only then does software make sense. And so I'm really glad you brought that up, because I think people get, especially in the IT space, and listen, I have a computer science degree. I'm a tech geek, you know, to the core. I love using tech to solve problems, but only when you get to the root cause, not to the symptoms, right? So you have to do things in the right order. And when you jump to technology too fast, you have so many change challenges and problems you're dealing with along the way.
Absolutely. Okay.
This is so good, Stuart. Thank you. So we've talked about where and how we can use it, but where is it not a good fit? What are the challenges and the pitfalls that can come with kind of getting this wrong?
Right. Well, so the first thing is to understand what AI is, right? So a lot of, because of all the noise in the market, a lot of people think of it as being machine learning, ChatGPT, that kind of stuff, right?
Right.
And that is AI, but that's not all of AI.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the first thing is, you know, make sure you understand what you're talking about when somebody says AI to you and that they've got an amazing tool that can solve this amazing problem.
Okay.
And then be aware of the fact that, you know, if it is machine learning, for example, you need a heck of a lot of data for machine learning to be able to do anything useful.
Right.
With reliability. Huge amounts of data. So, right. You know, I asked a guy who's a real deep, deep expert at building AI tools. I was interested in estimating project sizes. So how many data points do you need? He said, well, you know, we could get started with 10,000.
Okay. What?
Do you have 10,000 historical data points for how long your projects took? Because
oh
I don't.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? So, and with a data set that size, right, you got to be really careful that it's not biased and that it's not this, right? Stuff, right?
Right. Maybe so, you should have said meaningful data points, but, you know, I digress.
Yeah. Well, I think it's still a pretty big number.
Yeah.
So there are areas where AI sounds great, but you got to be really careful that the data supports the use case. But
right.
Then there are other areas where you don't actually need that training data.
Mm-hmm.
So there are guys like Keto who've built, you know, they've got a PPM tool and basically the AI they've integrated is about giving you another way of talking to the system.
Mm-hmm.
It's not actually learning the data or building mm-hmm. some kind of predictive model from your PPM data. All mm-hmm. it's letting you say, show me a graph that ...
Right.
Or summarize where you think the biggest risks are, right? And
right.
all it's doing is it's using that large language model that mm-hmm. already exists,
mm-hmm.
and it's plowing through all your documentation, looking for things that imply that there's a risk, right? And it's bubbling
right.
that. So, you know, that, which I think is a really useful tool, to your point earlier, it's saving you time so you can do the value-added stuff. It's saving you the boring time so you can do the value-added stuff.
Right.
So, you know, when you're out there looking at AI, just be aware that there are different types of problem.
Mm-hmm.
If you need big training data, chances are in this project universe that we all live in, you don't have that training data. So, you know, don't get sucked into that. But where you have an optimization problem, there are other algorithms that don't need the training data. So we talked about how we can simulate, you know, AI will guide the simulation of thousands of portfolios to optimize something.
Right.
You don't need training data for that. You can do that right now, tomorrow, or, you know, like the Keto guys, where it's not, you know, they're using a language model, a large language model that already exists. Sorry to get kind of technical for those. That's the bit that you talk to and figures out what you're saying and what you're trying to do. And they're using that to interact with your project data and just speed up the reporting for you,
right.
Which I think is great, right? That's fantastic.
Right.
But you don't need to train it then.
Right.
At least not the same way.
Right.
So really the message is, you know, buyer beware, software companies, and again, I've been selling software for 30 odd years, right? Software companies exist to sell software. When you're buying AI, when you're looking to leverage it, just make sure you understand the whole story about data, where does it come from before you commit? Because we like our project sponsors to be responsible and accountable for the business result. And if that's you, you want to make sure that you can deliver that result.
Right, for sure. Okay, so the moral of the story today is AI can help you, especially in portfolio management, to get to the information needed to drive faster decision-making for your executives, for you and your PMO and your projects, so that you can focus on the parts that are more complex than AI can solve, which is around the people.
And to find solutions that are better than you could do on your own. So it's not just faster. It's not just labor saving, right? So when you're working out the roadmap, right, the sequencing of projects, what normally happens is people will play project whack-a-mole in the PPM tool. They'll lay everything out on a timeline.
Right.
And they'll see that January is overloaded. So we drag a project. Great, we fixed January. Now we've broken March, right?
Right.
So you're going playing whack-a-mole. You could play whack-a-mole for half a day, right? Maybe
you'll
get one or two solutions that kind of work.
Right.
Well, we ran a simulation last week on a demo for a large government agency. The software, in about a minute, it was about a minute and a half, it ran, you ready for this?
Mm.
A million simulations.
Wow.
Right. And it found something like 300,000 successful simulation, successful attempts to schedule your projects, so then it could pick the best one from that. No wow. human can do that. So it's not just about faster. It's about better answers that mean you can accelerate delivery of projects, accelerate the delivery of value.
Right, right. Love it, love it. Okay, so with all of that said, I hope we've helped inspire people to rethink how they're using technology and artificial intelligence to help accelerate and bring more value, drive higher impact for all the work that you're doing in the organization, and making sure that the work you're doing is the right work, being done in the right way, at the right time, to solve the right business problems, and allow you to accelerate strategy delivery for the organization. So thank you, Stuart, so much for being here. I'm excited to keep these conversations going, which we will be doing on May 29th at 12 Eastern, 5 UK time for Greenwich Mean Time, for a webinar where we're going to be talking about the Impact Engine book, giving people a sneak peek, and sharing how we can all work together to solve the right business problems faster and accelerate the impact organizations are able to make.
Absolutely. And once you get us going, there's no stopping us, right? Because like 2 days after that, we're meeting in Riyadh.
I know. That's right. Actually, the 29th, I do that recording. Then I head to Miami to fly out to start my 24, 26, 28-hour journey over to Saudi Arabia, Riyadh, where we are also going to be talking about the Impact Engine book, doing a masterclass, having a lot of fun, connecting with fabulous thought leaders and a global community at the Global Project Management Forum. So I'm looking forward to all these fun things. We also have some resources, Stuart, that we're going to share on our website for this podcast episode, pmostrategies.com/253, where you have a short introductory course on using portfolio management to double the strategic ROI and impact from the portfolio. So we will share the link to that. And of course, one of my favorites, your ultimate guide to project prioritization that helps organizations lay the foundation for great portfolio management. So we will make sure to point to both of those resources. And of course, the upcoming May 29th webinar that we're doing together. And Stuart, if people want to get to know you a little bit further, how can they find you?
So the best way is jump onto our website and to look in the resources section on our website, because there's loads of material in there. Jump onto LinkedIn, connect with me personally directly. I'll always take questions or whatever it may be on there. Plug you into people who can help if I can, that kind of stuff. So, you know, one of the reasons Laura and I get on so well is that we both have this kind of service mentality where, you know, we really want to help people in the community and the community at large succeed and thrive and, you know, live the best version of themselves. So, you know,
absolutely.
Just reach out and get going.
All right. So that's transparentchoice.com where you can find Stuart. And then Stuart Easton right on the LinkedIn website. And of course, we're connected. So I can also make a connection for you as well. And with that said, Stuart, thank you so much for being here today. I look forward to seeing you again live on May 29th online and then live in person the next day somewhere on our travels and on our way to Riyadh. And so much more goodness to come. Hopefully you'll stop in and say hi to us on May 14th, International PMO Day. We will be doing our live celebration, elevation, and education workshop for PMO people from all around the world. May 14th, 11 Eastern.
You are doing it all in fancy dress, right? Just to make it special.
Fancy dress? Well, I'm going to have a fancy book in my hand. That's what I'm going to...
Oh, there we go.
You should have the book in your hand by then, hopefully, depending on how long it takes to ship. And I will have it in mine. And so will my mastermind students that are getting signed copies long in advance of the actual day that you can buy the book.
Tell you what, guys, if you can find a copy she hasn't signed, they're actually worth more now.
Very funny. I haven't, they're still being printed and bound right now, so I haven't signed anything, but I will be signing them when I see folks at events, and I will definitely, Stuart, will have to bring your copy so that we can get a signed copy as well. And then, of course, my mastermind students are going to ship to them all around the world, because I just think it's so important to celebrate our inner circle of mastermind folks. Anyway, with that said, thank you all so very much for being here today. Stuart, thank you for being a part of our community, helping to serve these impact drivers all around the world, and for sharing your insights on this episode today.
Laura, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right, Impact Driver, that's it for this episode. If you love what you are hearing, make sure that you hit subscribe and download these episodes so they are with you no matter where your high impact journey takes you. Bye-bye for now.
We're running. Go running with Laura in your head. It doesn't get better than that, guys.
Thank you all. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye for now.